and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and security podcast, where two industry veterans talk about all kinds of things involving PKI, including digital certificates, encryption, and things along those lines. I am Tim Callen, senior fellow at Sigtigo, and I am joined by Jason Sirocco, CTO of IoT at Sigtigo. How are you doing today, Jay?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me again.
So, Jay, this was a Jay Picks the Topic Day, and you have chosen blockchain.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room. I think on this podcast, we have to talk about it. And not that we don't want to. I think it's a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
I do find, and Tim, you might agree, and maybe some of the listeners will agree, boy, that term seems to come up a lot. It's come up so much. It's just like a movie star that might have had too much exposure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people get tired of seeing their pictures. People sometimes get tired of hearing about blockchain. I think what we're going to do on this podcast today, it's going to be a real, you know, maybe a quick one where you and I talk about where it's important. And, in fact, what we might even want to title this podcast is something around killer app. In other words, what's blockchain really good at? And where does it?
App.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously then blockchain's been advertised as being, you know, great for everything, you know, right. Slice and dice. It's but blockchain's really not a good Swiss Army knife. In terms of a technology, it does some things incredibly well, right. But those things are fairly narrow, and I think people need to know what those things are.
Yeah, and I think you touched on so many important things about blockchain, Jay, here, one of which is the hype cycle for blockchain has just been so extreme. It got hyped so high, it is now in the process of crashing down into a deep trough, and ideally, when we come out of that, there will be a sensible understanding of a sensible and important technology that does, as you say, a narrow set of things, but important things quite well. And used properly, it is very helpful, but there absolutely is this idea that we're going to do everything with blockchain, right? And one of the things that I routinely run into is people who don't fundamentally understand the difference between blockchain and PKI, pure and simple,
yes,
and cryptography. And they just kind of have all these ideas mixed up in their minds. And you understand to some degree why, because they accomplish some similar goals, right? It's about non-imputability. It's about, you know, identifying information very specifically in a way that you know it's valid. Go ahead.
No, Tim, you're going down one path that I think is worth talking about, especially for anybody who's tuned into this podcast, because typically you're coming in perhaps from the PKI world or the authentication world, and you're scratching your head about blockchain. And I think that that might be a place to start before we start getting into everything else. So obviously we titled this, we're going to, you know, perhaps put the title of this something of the term killer app. The most obvious killer app is cryptocurrency.
Right, for sure.
Right. And it is absolutely the killer app for blockchain technology because of the fact that the whole concept of this is, you know, an agreed upon set of values amongst multiple people. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
People forget what money is, but that really is what money is. And there's a lot of arguments as, you know, is it currency? Is it not currency? You know, what's the definition of that? I want to take it more from the technological standpoint of what's really underlying this. And today's podcast, if you tuned in today to hear all about the math behind it, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to have to wait for a future podcast. So, Tim, if you and I are doing business together, we don't know who each other is. We don't, and therefore we don't necessarily trust each other.
Right.
But we've successfully committed a transaction, just as an example. And perhaps we were using any system. Say PKI. Perhaps I have a certificate. You have a certificate. And you know, then all of a sudden we were going to do some sort of a transaction with a third party that we don't know yet, and we haven't established a relationship. When that third party comes in, we don't know if this person is trustworthy or not. And if this person has been issued from a centralized, say, certificate authority,
right,
a PKI certificate, just as an example of a technology.
Sure.
And well, we're going to trust that because it comes from that certificate authority. But what's the first thing you're going to do once you're in possession of the public key material of that trusted third party? You're going to check whether or not it's been revocated, right?
Right.
It's been revoked.
Sure.
And so therefore, that little bit of latency time of checking for revocation is one of the, it's just one of the artifacts of PKI, because it is by necessity centralized. That's why they call it a certificate authority.
Right. It is centralized, right? So if you have a CRL, a certificate revocation list, or an OCSP responder, fundamentally, these things are being maintained by the CA, and they have to be maintained by the CA, because if we're all out there making up our own CRLs or making up our own OCSP responses, then of course the bad guy can just say, no, it's not on the list. Here's my spoofed list, right? So the authority, in this case, the word authority makes sense. It actually does have to be the certificate authority that is saying these certs are valid, these certs are not valid.
Perfect. And that works because the CA is essentially maintaining that database, and it works.
Yes.
So it works for multitudes of scenarios of authentication. And just think through the numbers of ways that PKI is used on a daily basis. You know, that we perhaps one day, Tim, that'll be another podcast of where is PKI, right? The fact of the matter is it's in so many use cases, it's almost hard to imagine.
Yeah.
And that centralized database, that tiny bit of latency of double checking, you just don't even think about it.
Yeah.
In fact, I know as a certificate authority, I think the number is into the billions of per day or more of, you know, OCSP responder checks that we do, right?
It has to be. I don't know. I can't think of having seen that statistic, but it has to be for sure.
Sure. So that's just the way it works. And people barely think about it. It's so ubiquitous. It's been around a long time. It's tried, it's true, it's tested, et cetera, et cetera. But let's get back to blockchain.
Right.
Again, if you and I wanted to do business together and you didn't really know who I was, we don't really, you know, if let's say, let's give this scenario a real world scenario. Let's say you're a bank and I'm a person who wants to apply for a loan.
Okay.
Well, the way, in a very simplistic sense, one of the ways that it works today is you're going to go off to a centralized database to check my credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, what, 1, 2, or 3 major credit rating agencies in the world, or I should say in North America.
Yeah.
And you're going to, again, go off to a centralized system to do that. Well, that's pretty cool. It's worked for an awfully long time. But geez, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if I could present to you an artifact and you could then look me up on a completely public type of system so that I could assert who I am and my credentials of my credit rating that were issued by other entities that I've done business with. And those kinds of things were under the control of, they're not going to be seen by anybody except the people I want to give them access to. And additionally, I can give that access to anyone that I choose.
Right.
And therefore, there's no revocation check. You're not checking to see if I'm a bad guy or a good guy based off of a centralized database. You're checking out what is essentially a public system, a publicly distributed system.
Yeah.
Which then is able to then vet out, you know, what I'm claiming.
It's a distributed consensus-based system.
Yeah. Which is why a killer app for blockchain is cryptocurrency. Because when you're talking about currency and we're trading currency between one another for goods and services or whatever it is we're doing, that's, you know, that ability to then say, hey, is that real? Is that a real bit of money, a real bit of cryptocurrency? The answer is yes or no extremely quickly, right?
Right. Okay.
And so therefore, the example I just gave you of, you know, credit ratings, or, you know, if I'm going to a doctor who's never met me before and they want to see my health records, that's perhaps another killer app, right? Think about all the scenarios where the lookup of someone is better when it's on a distributed system, because of the fact that you want to reduce that latency of checking on perhaps a centralized system. That's just an example.
Is there a robustness example or a robustness against attack component to this as well, Jay? Because, you know, I think about a cryptocurrency. If there were a single database of who owned what, then if you could get into the database, you could change who owns what. And one of the advantages of blockchain is that there isn't that.
Right on, Tim. So what we are now talking about at this point, and I think this is gonna, this could earn itself an entire podcast all by itself, is the concept of hash chaining. And let me give you an example of hash chaining that's near and dear perhaps to your heart, and that's the certificate transparency logs.
Sure.
And that is in technical speak, that's a one-way Merkle tree.
Okay.
Which essentially means that every single certificate that's issued by a CA has a record that's appended to the certificate transparency log. Okay. And it cannot be modified. It cannot be deleted. It's only one way. And if there's a mistake that's made, the correction to the mistake record is added. And then, you know, you add the new record that makes the correction. And that is why you often hear about blockchain as a distributed ledger.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely a ledger, because there's no such thing as changing a record on a blockchain. You merely add records to it.
Right. And it's a chain of blocks. You add another block to the chain. So we say blockchain, a lot of people don't think about the etymology of that word. But that's absolutely what it is, right? You're chaining these blocks, and each block is the latest entry in the ledger.
Yeah, and to answer your question about the, you know, what's the basis for why we trust this in some way, it's because of the hashing algorithm, one after another, after another, after another. In other words, the math behind the double check, like just to get down to real basic English language, the double check is based off of the previous record and all the previous records. So therefore, a change to any part of the ledger would necessarily mean that it has been compromised, and it's noticeable immediately.
So an analogy for our PKI friends would be the same way that when I sign with a certificate, if I were to go in and change a bit in anything inside, let's say of a piece of signed code or, you know, an e-signed document, then if you go and you make any change inside of that code or that e-signed document, it no longer matches the hash. It's something similar going on here. The blocks are expecting all the previous blocks to be the same. And if I go in and I monkey with that in the file, then I get a disconnect and a failure.
That's right. That's exactly right, Tim. So here's what, though, is interesting, because beyond cryptocurrency, which has a specific implementation of blockchain, what I don't think a lot of people realize, and we are going to cover this in future podcasts, is there are all kinds of blockchain implementations out there for different reasons. So when you were talking about what's the killer app for blockchain, that's when knowing the different types of the different types of underlying math and technologies and consensus algorithms and all those kinds of good things, that's when you can start to be much more powerful and precise in understanding what type of blockchain implementation might be best for what you're trying to do. And then I think, Tim, what we'll do on future podcasts as well is we will compare it directly to PKI,
right?
Why you use one, why you use the other, and perhaps very importantly, what's the difference between public blockchains, private blockchains, and where does PKI fit within an authentication mechanism within private blockchains? Stay tuned.
Right. Absolutely. Stay tuned. And all of this is important stuff. And, you know, again, I run into a lot of people who seem to not understand how these things fit together. I love to cover that. And I also love the idea that you've just touched on, which is blockchain by itself as a technology on its own wouldn't be able to really solve most of its use cases. It's working in a hybridized environment, and that pretty much includes PKI anyway. So these are all interesting things. We will get into them for sure. Thank you for that introduction, Jay. And thank you, listeners. This has been Root Causes.